track called Apostate for you from Temple the Fuzz Witch. Before the commercials, you heard part one of an interview I did with the three-piece. I almost said tree-piece. Like, that's a thing? That's not a thing. That's not a thing at all. What a dumb, dumb idiot. Apologies, gentlemen. Apologies. Would you like to hear part two of this interview? Of course you would. I did this while I was down at RPM Fest, in case you haven't heard the point of the show. Down in Montague, Massachusetts, check out the lineup. Just go check it out. RPMFest.org. Go check out the lineup. I'm pretty sure it's .org. If I'm not right, I'll correct myself later. The point is, go check it out. Start planning for next year. That's all I'm going to say. And in the meantime, while you're doing that, listen to this second part of an interview with Temple of the Fuzz Witch here on Great A Explosive CJLO 1690 AM.
You guys drove pretty far to get here. Aside from there was a band from Wisconsin, which probably takes the, that's kind of an intense drive.
Yeah.
But I'm curious because as I was driving down here, I thought to myself how I used to, drive more often.
Yeah.
And how, because I've stopped driving as much, a, 4.5 hour drive feels like an eternity. I'm wondering if, because you guys are more kind of used to touring, if drives feel shorter or the same, I guess. I don't know how to quite judge that.
For me, I personally love driving, so it really doesn't bother me. But it definitely, you gotta have your head in the game in terms to make a very long stint. It wasn't as bad as I anticipated, though. For our road dates, our tour dates, I'm typically our driver, and I love doing it, so it's not really bad. What it has done is it has helped up my concept of what a long drive is.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll get people who are like, hey, you want to hang out on the other side of the state? It's like a 4-hour drive for you, and I'm like, yeah, I'll be there in a couple hours. So it has definitely warped my concept of what long on the road is.
It's like you're willing to go the distance now.
But thankfully, we have a great agent who tries to keep the distances relatively short on the run. Thank you, Seth.
Yeah, because I've seen some completely unhinged routings that have been happening recently. I just don't understand. Have you guys gotten any that are just madness that have happened to you?
We had a 13-hour last one, right?
Jeez.
Close to that.
On the next one?
No, on the one with Restless Spirit.
Shout out Restless Spirit.
It was 12-ish. It was a long one.
Good lord, that's
those dudes do those drives in their sleep.
They're bold.
What do you guys listen to when you're in the van for a tour? What's the one on deck for it? I guess it depends on the driver more than anything. But
I listened to a lot of Seat last night. A lot of High on Fire.
Conan. That's a big
classics.
Yeah. Stuff that we all generally like. Because with our taste being kind of so all over the place, we try to settle into that happy medium of Noah and I are fine listening to black metal. Taylor maybe doesn't like it as much, so we'll throw on some stuff that Taylor likes, and
we'll throw him a bone.
Yeah, earbuds are also a great investment for the road.
We all like the same shit, more or less. So it's a lot of the staples of the genre.
Well, speaking of genre, let's get contentious here, maybe.
Oh,
we'll see how this goes. I mentioned off the top that it's hard to kind of get to stand out in the type of genre that you're working within. Do you think that is a, well, I guess let's start off. Do you think that is a problem for the genre, or do you think that is just that's how it's designed, and so it's working as intended, not a bug?
Right. For a lot of the more stoner-esque bands that are within the Doom umbrella, I feel like that just kind of falls in naturally. You hear it in the sound, and it is what it is. But for something like what we're doing, we just had a very general concept of, I guess, what our sound just kind of being based off of it, and then we're just kind of running with it. We get whatever we end up with.
Do you think that might become a long-term issue? Because, like, I find that metal, along with all of the things that we all make jokes about, the gatekeeping, the, like...
And all the stereotypes.
Yeah, all the stereotypes. But there is a very, like, kind of regressive element to it, right? And I find it's especially kind of... I guess not regressive in Stoner and Doom, but it is sort of, like, set in stone. Like, it... This is what it
There's
is.
There's a lot of redundant, kind of repeated things, you know? I mean, that's why I kind of feel like it's stagnant now. I mean, that's part of the reason why I wanted to go in the different direction, too. I mean, we're always going to change. You know, we'll be true to ourselves, but we'll always continue to change. Why do the same thing twice?
Nobody wants to listen to the same album. Yeah. Like, all my favorite artists make albums that are wildly different. Glass, Boris, Melvins, Mastodon. Like, you can tell it's them, but, like, nobody wants to buy the same record five times.
Well, I don't know. AC/DC fans would argue with you about that.
See, that's why I'm not a fan of AC/DC.
I don't want to talk to AC/DC.
Okay? I mean, moral of the story is, I mean, we're going to keep doing us. If you're up with it, awesome. If not, then...
listen to something else.
Yeah. We're doing it for us, for the most part. And I mean, also, of course, our fans, which we appreciate every single bit that they give us.
Well, you guys have, you're on Ripple Records, you're going to be playing here, playing at Ripple Fest. You have this new record that's out. What's the worst musical instrument?
The kazoo.
Oh, quick.
The recorder.
Recorder comes up, like, a lot. Like,
it's
a shocking amount.
Man.
It's for kids.
Are we all just traumatized by the recorder?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Like, it's a trauma bond we all have?
Yeah,
like,
it's awful. See, I mean, I would say from, like, my elementary days that it was just... That's what got me doing recorder karate. Shout out to my elementary school music teacher. I mean, he was a cool guy.
Yeah,
recorder's not on the list. Not on the top of the good list, at least.
Last question for you. You're going to be heading back home after this. You've got this split that's coming out. You have at least going down to Ripple Fest. What's the rest of the year like? Are you going to have another tour that you're planning out? Or do you have more... I mean, I guess you don't have more material you're ready to record, being the new last record is, like, just out, but...
We're going to be announcing another tour later this fall.
Okay.
So that's like, what's on the horizon, and then,
a couple weeks from now, and people are going to... It's going to be sick.
Yep.
We can't say anything right now.
Of course, yeah, I know, classic. But you're coming up to Montreal, though, right? Huh? Huh?
Not right now.
Not right now. Unfortunately.
Damn.
We're working on it.
All right.
Yeah.
Fine.
One eternity.
Everyone, I'll keep you posted.
We'll get there. We promise.
They promised. You heard it, everybody. That's...
And they did promise it. Temple of the Fuzzwitch, down at RPM Fest in Montague, Massachusetts. Very good set. Very good band. And last record, Apotheosis, you should definitely check it out. Not right now, because we got more interview things to go into here, including one with New York's Castle Rat. They are going to be here in Montreal playing with Green Lung. And you know what? I'll tell you more about that later. I'll tell you more about that later. But first, let's get into this interview. I will tell you that I had to do some work on this, and I sent it to our head engineer at the station to try to get some of the background noise out. And big thanks to Zach for helping out with this. He probably would not approve of me playing this because he has higher standards than I do, for sure. Definitely. But I'm going to be playing this because I did enough cleanup on it and I believe that it should be played. It's understandable, but I still do apologize. It's not as crisp and clear as some of the other ones. So here is part one of an interview I did with the lead singer of Castle Rat. Keep it locked. CJLO 1690 AM. This is Grade A Explosives.
Hey, everybody. everybody. It's Andrew. I am joined by a very special guest. You may know her as the lead singer of the band Castle Rat. I will let her give her name because, well, I don't know if she wants to use a pseudonym, one. And then two, even if I did say it, I'd probably get it wrong. So tell the people who you are in Castle Rat.
Greetings. I am the rat queen of Castle Rat, also known as Riley Pinkerton, which is how I'll be doing the interview.
Very well.
That's
okay.
A lot easier.
All right. We've established that. Okay. Let me start off with a point of fact first, because I read on your Bandcamp that Castle Rat is from New York, but I'm seeing a lot of references to Philly in there. Which are you from?
We're from New York City, baby.
All right. Fair enough. Okay.
We did record our album in Philly. We have some friends in Philly.
Okay. All right. Well, then, let me start this off. I like to start off all my interviews the same way, even though this one I just didn't do that, so disregard that, and we'll act like this is the first question. What's a question that you are tired of answering, or you don't want to address? If you have it on here, I'll strike it. You won't have to think about it.
Do you want to do an interview?
Oh, I'm already too far into this now. Well, question negative 10 is already done. Well,
okay. I've been asked enough questions to find one that I don't like. That's I'll yell at you if I find one.
Okay, all right, that's fair. That seems like a fair way to go about it. All right. I love concept bands. I absolutely adore them. I think it's an amazing idea to have. And, like, I very much like what Castle Rat is doing, filling a hole left by, you know, such greats as, like, Huntress as the last kind of classic example for that. Do you have a plan to kind of counteract some of the idea fatigue, I guess, that comes with having a concept band? I'm thinking, like, of someone like Coheed and Cambria that went, like, more progressively, like, outside of the story until they finally got to, like, an album that's like, we're not doing the story anymore, you guys.
Gotcha. I mean, I'm just taking one day at a time.
Okay, fair enough.
And some days I'm going, oh my god, why did I start this? There are so many bits and pieces and floats and vampire teeth and weapons and black, all sorts of things to forget. Like, every time we go to a show, I'm like, I can't wait to find out what I've got. But we have breathing room when it comes to songwriting. We're a conceptual band, but we have yet to do a conceptual album. I've always wanted to prioritize the music in that if you just heard a song somewhere, you would have no idea that we're like a fantasy metal band that dresses up a costume and has more. So I like to keep the two separate, obviously, like lyrical themes and things that like live within that world and have the spirit of Castle Rat, but I don't see us ever getting to a point where I have a song where I'm like, I am the rat queen, and then here is the ruin. Like, then it turns into like a musical, which is not stuff about that's cool, that people do that. It's not my scene. I was never like a theater kid. I just really like visual arts and dressing up and character building and stuff like that, but yeah, it gives me some breathing room when it comes to songwriting that I can write about personal experiences and use like metaphor devices to keep it like sort of medieval and fantasy. But that's how I was writing in any way before the Reposter scroll that.
Yeah, I was going to ask, because I know you have a bunch of solo records that are up, and I read someone say that, like, oh, that's basically, like, 1.0 Castle Rat. Is that an accurate description, or is that a bit exaggerated?
That feels right. I mean, I did go back kind of recently and explored some things that were, like, unreleased from, like, very early days, where I was like, oh, even then, there's, like, whisperings of Sabbath and the medieval language or characters. It's always been swimming around. It's something that I've had like friends say years ago. That they're like, yeah, like a medieval thing, like maybe in a past life, kind of coming through. And all that stuff is bad, though. I need to take that offline. That's a good reminder. But that's leaving the internet forum.
Well, everyone, then there are no solo records up online. Don't look for them.
Maybe one day in the future. I feel like
decided and made the transition of, or not made, I guess decided to make the transition from, like, I'm doing folk things now, I want to get heavier? And was it, like, an immediate thing, like, I'm going right into it, or did you kind of build into what Cancel Rap became?
I had a really weird, it stopped into, like, I had, like, a simultaneous obsession between, like, Nirvana and Blondie.
Okay.
So I was like, what about, like, glam grunge? And that didn't work great either. I played with some really amazing musicians on that stop of my journey. And then I saw my friend, Jackie, her band is called Reverend Mother. And I saw her play her, like, first show ever under a different band name. It was the first time I saw, like, a girl slinging salmon riffs, like, in the scene, and I was like, oh, this from day one, like, through all of the folk music background, Sabbath was, like, my one true love. That's what I was listening to from them. I was like, I don't know how I can do that because I'm doing folk music, whatever. So seeing my friend, like, sort of opened, like, just rerouted, like, a neural pathway in my brain where I was like, oh, you can just do it. Who knew? And I had already had, like, an SG. It was, like, my first electric guitar that I just, like, never played. And then I was just like, oh, it's that simple. Just fucking doing the thing that you want. And it's so liberating. So, yeah, weird, like, grunge Blondie pit stop where I had, like, short hair and dyed the underneath, like, darker. And wore really beautiful, like, Blondie-esque dresses, but was writing stuff that was, like, grungy, and then had some weird, like, Sabbath riffs in it. That's very confused.
How much do you regret not sticking with that when you think about, like, the costumes, swords, and all that?
I've had my moments where, like, especially early on when, like, nobody in the band had a car, and so playing shows within the city...
You're on the subway, like, with a sword?
Sometimes I'd get, like, bougie with it, and I'd get an Uber, because it was, like, just so much to carry. And I had made the first Bat Reaper size out of a hockey stick with cardboard and tin foil tape. And a number of times I've loaded that thing, like, diagonally into, like, an Uber that's, like, a sedan. And nowhere near Halsey. I mean, it's New York, so it's always...
Yeah, every day is kind of Halloween. Yeah.
There's plenty of times where I was like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? And then I play the show and it always pays off because it seems to really connect with people in a particular way that no other project I've done has. So that definitely keeps me going. It's feeling like it's really special in that, even though it's a lot of work and a lot of brain power and a lot of weirdness. It's like unique challenges that I just like never anticipate.
I'm sure one of those challenges has kind of been navigating the, it seems like, large amount of following that people have gotten for you. Like, it really seems like you've, it feels like a weird thing to say, blown up, but within the metal community, is that something that you've had to deal with? Like, this, like, sudden, I guess, fame? I'm using big air quotes here because, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I haven't felt, like, the shockwave of it yet. Obviously, like, Instagram followers kind of popped off. And the response to the album, like, vinyl sales alone is, like, mind-boggling to me. I think once we hit the road and I have, like, multiple nights in a row of, like, talking to people at the merch booth and stuff like that, that's probably when it's going to kind of, like,
sink in
for me. I pretty much cry after every show with,
oh, no.
With gratitude.
Oh, okay, all right.
They're good tears. But it, like, it does hit me, like, emotionally, where I'm just like, wow, this is so special. And, you know, like, my goal with Castle Rat is, like, kind of having, like, a freak show where everyone is welcome to join the realm and be a part of something. I think I've always had, like, a hard time feeling like I belong in whatever, you know, in school as, like, a small child, high school, and, like, social scenes and, like, and struggling socially in a lot of different ways and using very unhealthy ways to, like, try and cope with that and learning not to do that. And so, yeah, creating this thing that seems to... people want to be a part of the realm. And giving any... space myself. So to be able to, like, get that, it's just rad.
I guess that's another example of just, like, you know, just fucking do it, right? Like, I mean,
yeah.
It kind of plays into it in the same way.
Yeah, we should be sponsored by Nike.
Yeah, Nike, get on this.
Nike,
come on.
Get on this. I'll put a little swoosh on my sword.